Oh yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle.
Howie, yowie, zowie, sizzle, mix, zowie, sizzle.
That's enough. Hi.
Okay. You know what?
What?
Let me save this. We got a lot of people saying, where the heck is the new episode? And our last episode was in March, at the end of March. That's a long time. Paige, you gotta keep it up. Gotta keep it up. People wanna hear you.
I'm sorry. I didn't even make up a good excuse.
I know.
I apologize.
That's terrible. What will Peter 64 have to keep him happy on his mower with, except for your melodious voice?
I don't know.
That's right. Apologize.
I'm very sorry.
All right. Well, let's get right into it there, Chicklet. Your homework for last month. You did part of it so far. So
yeah.
Why don't we talk about the part that you did do?
Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. I watched the Revolution OS movie, and I wrote down basically what I thought of the movie.
Excellent. I'm waiting to hear.
Okay.
Waiting to hear.
I heard
you
the first
now.
Time. Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for your
You're
permission.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Carry
well,
on.
All right.
You're an idiot. Okay. So, basically, I learned that Windows used to be, you know, the number one operating system that everyone used, but, you know, then Linux just came in and kind of pushed it aside with, you know, the hackers sending bits and pieces of computer code around the world for free. To basically, you know, set computer users free, you know, quotation marks. And I found out that it was just set up one day. People just started, you know, making it and adding on to it and adding on to it. It used to be that people, you know, would just share their computer software around with their friends. They'd be like, hey, look, this is what I got. But soon in the late 70s and 80s was the beginning of people just closing up their softwares and saying, no, you can't see this. And Linux is basically just saying, hey, that's not right. You can see this. You know, it's open to everyone. That's what I found out. People thought that Linux would... It was technically supposed to be just a disaster, but seeing how big and open of a project it was, but it somehow succeeded. So, yeah. I'm not that good at summarizing. I'm pretty sure that Linux wasn't supposed to be how it was, but when Linus started working on the kernel, it was completed a lot faster, and so they used that one, and it was more solid. He used the traditional method of writing one program that would make it all work. Most people don't know that they're actually using GNU Linux software, not just Linux. I don't have that long of an attention span to watch the whole movie, I'm sorry. You're being quiet. You're making me nervous. Why are you being so quiet?
Well, that's because I'm muted and people want to hear what you have to say more than they want to hear what I have to say.
Nobody wants to hear what I have to say.
Yeah, they do. A lot of people want to...
Well, when they started making the softwares for Linux, they had this thought that, you know, they wouldn't put passwords on their computer even though people told them to, you know. It's just, you know, somebody can come in and, it's like someone who was there yesterday can't control what happens today. That was basically their philosophy. Richard, the founder of the GNU project, sent out messages informing people that the security on their computer was just a hoax. He could find their password easily. He got many people to join them and use the word enter as their password. I don't exactly remember the purpose for that. I guess it was just to show that, you know, people were figuring out that their passwords didn't really protect their computer very well. And so, you know, it was really a false sense of security. Richard invited many people to join him to help write the programs for his software and stuff. And so, yeah. And that basically led to the four freedoms that we talked about that one episode after they replaced all of the old stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. This is my limited ability of an essay on a movie. I'm just going to stop there before I, you know, just fail even worse.
No, that's good. What did you think of the, like, what were your impressions of the people? Let's pull out, there's more people identified in this than what I'm going to bring up now, obviously. But there's pretty much, there's three really big names that a lot of people know. One is Linus Torvalds. And he was the original creator of the Linux kernel. He's the guy who did it, who wrote the Linux kernel back in 1991. He posted it to the mailing list, and that was they talked about that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
His original post. That was. Go ahead.
And they decided to use his instead of Richard's because his went more faster and was more solid. Yeah.
Do you recall the name of the kernel or quote operating system? Well, actually, it would be called the kernel that Richard Stallman and the GNU Foundation were working on.
No. Did they mention it?
I do believe they did.
Oh.
It was called the Herd. The Herd, H-E-R-D. And the Herd is still under development. As a matter of fact, I think there is going to be... No. Well, I think there's a version of Debian that you can run... the Herd on. I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if I'm getting it confused with there's a version of Debian BSD or there's a version of Debian Herd. In fact, I can look that up for us right now.
Okay.
Okay, so let's okay, Debian Herd. Debian GNU Herd. Okay, it's a GNU mock microkernel. I think it's under development right now, so this is something you can actually run. I wonder if there's a Debian BSD project. Debian GNU FreeBSD. Yes, there's both. So there is both a FreeBSD and Debian GNU. Do you know what BSD is? FreeBSD? BSD?
No.
All right. Let me explain you what BSD is quickly, and then we'll go back. We'll head down this rabbit hole. BSD stands for Berkeley Software Distribution. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And what that was it is a Unix operating system derivative, and it was developed and distributed by Computer System Research Group from the University of California, Berkeley. It was a project that was undertaken, and it shared its initial code base and design with the original AT&T Unix version of Unix, and it was released under what's called the BSD license. And
so wait,
differs.
What does BSD mean again?
Berkeley Software Distribution.
Okay. Continue.
It's named after the University of California, Berkeley, where it was developed. And it is grown into, there's three, well, we'll say four now, four really big versions of BSD. One is called FreeBSD. And FreeBSD is a kind of server slash desktop version of BSD, kind of like a distribution of Linux. When we talk about these versions of BSD, there's different versions of BSD. FreeBSD it aims to be the, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, aims to be the most widely, have the most widely available applications, the largest repository. It's kind of like the Debian of the BSDs with regards to its repository side. There's a huge development community around it, and their goal is to be a fully functional system and have as much software as possible and be as stable as possible. Then there's the OpenBSD project, and the OpenBSD project is kind of like the aims to be the most secure and stable of the BSDs. It's Theo Durrott, who also does involved with SSH and the OpenSSH project and security. It aims to be the most stable and secure operating system you could possibly run, and they do a darn good job of it. Then there's NetBSD. NetBSD's goal is to be the most widely available across multiple architectures operating system or version of BSD, and they do a fantastic job of it. I believe that they, out of all the operating systems that are out there, I think NetBSD runs on the most varied hardware available. So from embedded systems all the way up to mainframes and everything. There is, I don't know if Linux, a version of Linux has surpassed NetBSD at all, but NetBSD is probably the most widely available.
Oh. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the mute button. Where did I stop? What was I talking about?
Most widely available or something.
NetBSD, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear me all about NetBSD?
Yes.
And comparing it? Okay. Alright, so
you only hit the mute button like 5 seconds ago, so.
Okay. Alright. So then finally the fourth one, which is probably it's the newest one. It's PCBSD, and I believe it's based off of FreeBSD, and it aims to be a more user-friendly desktop version of FreeBSD, and it has its own kind of package management system. There's another one out there called Dragonfly BSD, but you kind of get the idea. It's not Linux. It is actually a Unix derivative, and it is BSDs are fairly, you know, very stable Unix derivative operating system. And one of the big differentials between Linux and BSD is the licensing that they use. And remember we talked about Linux, and it's used, a lot of the software under Linux is under the GNU GPL. And that's a copyleft license. The BSD distributions and a lot of the software under the BSD platform is licensed under the BSD license, which is a very permissive license. And basically what the BSD license says is you can use this software for anything and any way that you want to use it. All you have to do is just give attribution or retain the attribution in the software. You know, attribution meaning who wrote it, and give the credits to that. Where it differs between the GNU GPL is that you are not required to distribute or publish the changes you make to the software. So you can take BSD application or software, you can make changes to it or include it into your project. You are not required to then pass on or distribute the changes or make public the changes that you made. As a matter of fact, you can even prevent people, you can lock up the BSD code into a binary, because I do believe Microsoft used, or I don't know if they're using it anymore, but had used the BSD TCP/IP stack in their Windows NT product line. So you can take the software and you can use it in a proprietary application, and you don't have to, quote, give back or distribute the code. The BSD license prides itself on being very permissive and not applying any restrictions upon anybody and the use of it other than providing attribution. Do you understand what I said there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's get back to Revolution OS, as you were saying. Linus Torvald, 20 years ago, released the Linux kernel. What did you think of him? What was your impression of him?
I thought he was cool. That's a one-word impression that I'm going to stay with. So, what do you think of him?
He seems like a down-to-earth guy. If you follow a lot of his stuff and listen to what he says, I do believe that of the bunch, he seems the most centered and down-to-earth. I won't say down-to-earth. I'll say the other two that I'll mention, he seems to be very in the center of this whole thing. He's very approachable. He's very pragmatic as the way he views how Linux is used and developed. And, I mean, he seems to be most interested in creating a very good product that's as usable and meets the needs as most people as possible while retaining security and stability. So I think that he has, I do believe that he has intentions to keep Linux free, or would like to see Linux remain free and accessible, but he's not opposed to maybe some software or being able to run proprietary software or closed software on top of Linux and the Linux operating system.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now let's talk about Richard Stallman. What do you think of Richard Stallman?
Well, just by what I wrote down, because I don't even remember which one he was, because I think I fell asleep halfway through, or in some sort of preteen coma. He seems like a pretty smart dude. Not
all right,
as
hold on.
Cool.
Let me stop you for a second. Let me remind you who Richard Stallman is. Okay.
Okay.
He is the guy. He has very long hair and a beard. Kind of looks a little hippie-ish.
Oh yes, that guy.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he sang the Free Software song. Join us now and free the software.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, now give me your.
That was an interesting description. Thanks, Dad. He was interesting. I didn't expect to see someone like that, you know, who kind of ran the whole thing, you know, the whole project right there. But, so that was
an
interesting twist. The GNU project.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know, because I guess from everything I've seen and all this history I've learned and stuff, I expect people who, you know, work with computers and stuff and invent new softwares to look more professional. I mean, not professional, more business-like and scary. But he was a nice-looking dude. He didn't intimidate me.
Okay.
So, yeah, what did you think?
Okay, well, I have heard Richard Stallman speak, and I have actually spoken with Richard Stallman. We had him on the Linux Link Tech Show twice, on a few occasions, actually twice. And I find him a very interesting guy, and he's a very nice guy, and very intelligent. He is very, very true to his philosophy, to the GNU principle. I mean, he is probably, what you'd say, he is so, he's, a lot of people think he's radical, he's too, he's inflexible and rigid with regards to his beliefs in the GNU software. He absolutely declares no proprietary software, that proprietary software is unethical, and that everything should be free software. And I do really wholeheartedly agree with him in that. I do believe what he says. I don't necessarily practice completely what he practices. I do use some proprietary software, obviously. You know, games.
Mm-hmm.
The NVIDIA driver I've used. You know, we have a PlayStation 3. You know, that's kind of, you know. And I do, I think that there's some flexibility, middle ground in there. But it's good to have somebody like him to keep the whole GNU philosophy and everything going forward and trying to stay on this path and as honest as possible and keep, you know, at bay the whole proprietary side of things. Because I don't think if we had somebody to offset the complete other side, there might become an imbalance. And I do think that he can be... To some people would say he's detrimental to the whole movement, but I think he's extremely important and right where he belongs. All right.
Uh-huh.
Any more on Richard Stallman?
I agree with you 100%. That's just what I wanted to say. So, yeah. I think that's it.
Okay. Now, there's a third guy who I'll bring up who was very important back in that period. He wrote a book called The Cathedral and the Bazaar, outlining what was the tenets of what's called open source software. I'm trying to think who coined the term open source software. I'm trying to think his name. I've spoken with this guy too. Who was it? Who was it, Paige?
I do not know. Why are you asking me these questions?
Because I have his book. Oh, well. Anyway.
Well, then you should know.
I do. I should know. But the name, I can't... I don't think it was Larry Wall. I thought it was, oh, let me look it up.
Why don't you look it up? Yeah.
I am. Okay. The term, maybe it was, it's not saying under, Richard Stallman coined, Bruce Perens, I think it was. I think he was, Bruce Perens was the one who coined the term open source software. I could be wrong.
And you probably are.
Yeah, he created the open source definition. That's right, Bruce Perens. But anyway, one of the guys that was really prominent back when Revolution OS was released is a guy named Eric Raymond. Do you recall Eric Raymond?
Was he in the thing? Was he the one with the mustache that I liked?
You liked the mustache? Or you liked him?
Yeah.
Which one, him or the mustache?
I liked them both.
Okay, yeah. He's a guy with the mustache. He's a guy that he, I do believe he had said at one point that he went up and the Microsoft, a couple of guys from Microsoft came up to him and said, you know, who are you? And he said, I'm your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of Eric Raymond?
I thought he was, let's see. Let me think for a second here. I thought he was a pretty awesome dude. I liked his mustache.
Okay.
What? Why can I not like someone's mustache? Why is that so funny?
No, I just, because it is. I just, not too many people come out and say I like mustache, you know, some dude's mustache. That's fine. Do you have any thoughts on Eric Raymond?
I think he was, well, is, a cool dude. I think he is, he looks kind of intimidating a little bit, but I think overall he's probably a nice guy, and I didn't get much sleep last night. I'm tired. He looks like a cool guy. That's what I'm gonna stay with. Just like all the rest of them. My knowledge of adjectives is very limited right now.
Okay.
What do you think
Raymond.
Of them?
I've had the privilege of actually seeing Eric Raymond speak in two different places. First was at Lehigh University, and then second was at the Bucks County Linux Users Group. And this was back in the 90s, and late 90s, I do believe. So I actually got to meet Eric Raymond face to face. He's a very nice guy, very intelligent. He has done some great work, I think, for the community in open source. Very talented. He's a black belt in Taekwondo.
Awesomeness.
There you go. There's something that you two would have in common. And
I'm almost
a gun collector.
Black belt.
That's true. There you go. So he didn't live too far away from where we lived up in Pennsylvania. He lived in Malvern. I think he's still there. But he's I know he's in Pennsylvania, and I'm pretty sure he's in Malvern. I don't think he moved out of Malvern, but, so it's interesting to have somebody like that right in our back door. Backyard, I should say. Backyard. But,
back door.
No, he sometimes he and Richard Stallman are presented as being opposed to one another. I don't necessarily know if that's, you know, ultimately 100% true. But the open source definition is a little different, has some significant differences than the GNU GPL, in that there are some clauses in the open source definition that one of the big tenets, main tenets of the GNU GPL is the copyleft and the ability to, the requirement that you have to publish your changes, and you have to, if you distribute the software, you have to distribute the source code and the changes that you make, and you cannot apply or impose any further restrictions that would deny anybody the four freedoms of the software. With open source definition, there are some versions of open source, quote, open source licenses that only permit you to look at the code. Not you can change it, I think, for your own use, but there can be restrictions in there that say you cannot distribute changes to the code, or if you do, you have to get permission before you can distribute them, you know, the changed code. So that kind of violates the GNU GPL and doesn't secure the four freedoms with the ability to distribute, use the software as you see fit, and distribute it. So there's some differences there to be aware of. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I guess you have anything else you want to say about Revolution OS? Did you find it an exciting film? Did it make you? Did you come away feeling proud of Linux or anything?
Yeah, I did actually. I came away knowing a lot more than I did before I watched it, and you know, it actually. I went to my friends who use Microsoft and Windows, using some facts that I found from this movie of why they should not be using Microsoft and Windows and stuff like that.
What did you come away with?
Like how, you know, Windows, Microsoft, and all that stuff, they...
Uh-oh! Let me resume. Okay. All right. You hit the mute button?
I think I hit it with my elbow. So, where did I stop?
Well, hold on. Wait. You got cut off right as I asked you what is it you were telling your friends, and you started to launch into what you say to them.
Oh, okay. Well, what I say to them is how Microsoft and Windows and all that stuff will bottle up their information and make you, you know, work for it, you know, jump through hoops to get it. But, you know, Linux just has it right there. You know, you can take it, you can change it, you can share it with other people. It's like, hello, free, right here. Don't have to do anything to get it, you know. So that's what I tell my friends about Linux and how, you know, it's way better than anything else they use. And then they're just like, you know what, shut up. And I'm like, okay, sure, but I know I've won this argument. So, yeah.
So they've actually opposed? What is their opposition, or what are their opposing arguments?
After I say that, they don't have anything else to say. They don't have any comeback. It's really, kind of shocking because they don't even know anything about the software they use.
So they don't care, huh?
They don't care. That kind of makes me mad.
You punch them in the face then, right?
No. I don't know how they did it back in the olden days, Dad, but in this day and age, if you punch somebody, you get suspended.
Alright. Are you still having a hard time getting people to consider using Firefox?
Yes. Nobody wants to switch from Explorer to Firefox. I don't see why, because Explorer sucks. I mean...
I don't know either.
Yeah, so... So, anything else to say on the matter?
No.
All right, so should we move on to our next topic?
What's our next topic?
I don't know. What is our next topic? Is it the drawing?
Well, yes. How was the other part of your homework? Let's talk about the other part of your homework. Creating that desktop background. That wallpaper.
Yeah, I started that last night, actually. It was very late. I was on step... I can't remember which step it is. Hold on, I'll pull it up right now, because I can't remember which one that I got stuck on. Let's see. I think it was... Let me go to the GIMP tutorials. It was...
You're looking at the steps.
Yeah, I can't remember which step I got lost on, so I'm going to look at them.
All
But of course this thing always wants to freeze up on my computer. So anyway, once I get that up, I'll say which step it was. But, I couldn't... I got the glow effect, mostly. I was on step, like, 9, I think. I'm trying to pull it up right now. But I couldn't... It wasn't working right in this one thing. I hit, I tried it many different, I tried it different times. It was when, step 6, when you choose the perspective tool and move the top and bottom left corners to each other so that they meet in the middle, they meet left in the middle. And then, you know, you should have a line thinner. A line that has shine thinner on the left side. Whenever I tried to do that, it would either just disappear or the first line would disappear, and it would just be the second line that was way bigger. So the one that you use the blur on, and it would just be the blurry line there, but there wouldn't be a little line. Or it would just disappear altogether. So I don't know. I've got to play around with that and see what I did wrong. But I couldn't that one out.
I'm not sure you did anything wrong. I kind of ran into the same issue the first couple of times I did that. You're saying that when you use the perspective tool and you kind of brought them together on the one side and brought it down on the other side, correct? That you, like, pinched it together, so to speak?
Yeah.
It kind of disappeared?
Yeah, like after I hit the button or whatever, or after I was done doing that, it would either disappear or the line in the middle, the smaller line, would disappear.
Yeah, I had that exact same thing. I think I had that same thing happen. I think that's what's supposed to happen. It looks really weird. I continued on after that step.
But it looks different in the next step, though. Because, after it told me to do the reflect thing or whatever, where you reflect it onto the other side, or flip it, and I couldn't figure out what that was for, because it didn't do anything. So, by duplicating the line and flipping it, I don't understand. I couldn't figure it out.
This is my perspective on that and what I did. That's right. I'm recalling now. When you have that straight line, then you applied a blur to it. I think you had a line. You created another press M, move tool, and the path will disappear. Okay, you did a Gaussian blur. And then you took that line, so to speak, now you had the blur, and you used the perspective tool to take the left side of that and bring the, kind of make it almost like the perspective tool would create a triangle.
Yeah.
You saved it at that point, so it should have kind of looked a little bit like a cone opening up to the right, and then
but it didn't look like that.
You duplicate that layer and you flip it and you move it out, so now it looks like a cone moving, opening to the left, and you position it so that they kind of meet together and form and I don't know if that's an ellipse or whatever shape that is, but you say yours didn't look like that.
It says it's supposed to look like, you know, if it was a sunset over water and it was reflecting onto the water, like that kind of shape. It gets smaller off to the edges. It's like wider in the middle and then gets smaller. No, it didn't do that. It just stayed a whole big blurry line in the middle.
Okay.
The same, you know, it didn't get smaller at the edges or anything. And that was only, like, the second or third time I tried it, and the line in the middle disappeared altogether. But the first two times I tried it, the whole thing disappeared. And then after I did that, whenever I undid it, and then I went back and I hit the autocrop or whatever it says to do, it would do the line instead of the first line instead of the second line.
It would outline the first line. This is what I wonder. This is what I wonder, okay? And the reason why I wonder this, because I went beyond that step to... I mean, I did the whole thing once, okay? But when I got down to step 11, where you were going to apply the eye warp to distort it and get that wavy line, even though on step 10, everything looked right on step 10, when I got to step 11, I could not see the wavy line or how it would look in the preview menu. I couldn't see it. It just would not appear for me. Not like it would there. It was almost invisible. And I'm wondering if part of the reason why we're having a difficult time is the calibration of the laptop or monitor screens that we're looking at these on, that there's something missing in, or some calibration that is not set that we're not seeing these images the way that we should be. Even though they're there, they're just either too faint or the calibration's off on the color settings for the actual monitor to allow you to see it the way it should be. That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe you should try reversing the colors, like making the background white and the line black. Maybe you'd be able to see it. I don't know. Or maybe you could duplicate the layer more than 3 or 5 times.
That's a possibility. But yeah, this is something. What this says to me, what this said to me, because you didn't finish it yet, but I went through all the steps, and I have a crappy end result that I actually produced. It looks terrible. Nothing like, I mean, it looks like what you see at the bottom, but very sloppy on step 26. But I'm wondering, you know, this just shows that it looks kind of easy on the surface. You look at these steps and you say, well, that's not too difficult.
Yeah,
but
it looks
is.
A lot
it does
more
get hard.
Easy than it is. It's extremely, it's a lot harder than it looks. So, yeah.
And, so. I mean, that this says to me, one of the things that this says to me, and this is one of the issues I have with any of these tutorials, I think I need to step back and go to an even more basic tutorial. Because I think of that, if someone presented me with the end result and said, I want you to do this in the GIMP, okay, if someone presented me like that, I'm not sure I could have gone through those steps and would even have considered doing exactly what they said in these tutorials. Because for me, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect in my understanding of exactly what the tools do and when you should actually use the tools.
Yeah. They don't, they tell you to do these things. They don't give you, like, an exact, like, they don't put a picture in your mind of what exact tool it's supposed to be, where you're supposed to do it exactly, or, you know, something like that. It's not very easy to explain, but it doesn't put a good picture in your mind.
Like, when I look at these different steps and I say, okay, that makes sense, do that too, okay, I can see that, I can see that, I can, that makes sense, but to me, I would like to know, before doing this, I guess, is a better understanding of each individual tool, what it does, what it's supposed to do, and why it does it. And I guess, I don't know where to get that information, unfortunately.
It's like sending a person with a grocery list to a supermarket who's never been to one before and telling them to get these items that they don't know where they are or what they're supposed to look like. So, yeah. Not a very good example.
Yeah, it would almost be like sending them to the store and instead of saying peanut butter, saying, like, they've never bought Peter Pan or Jif.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, you know, sausage links, you would say Jimmy Dean.
Uh-huh. Something like that. So,
instead
yeah.
Instead of saying hot dog, you say ballpark. You know, it's like missing the basics there.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's hear what you actually did do. Because it sounds, and how you did it, because it's very interesting.
Well, I didn't even really mean for this to be for the show at all, but I guess it does, you know, show, I don't know, something that has to do with the applications or something. But I had these pictures that I had scanned into my computer a while before, and I was doing all these things with them. And when I first started scanning them in, my dad, he took one of them and he went on Inkscape and he traced the bitmap. And I didn't know at first, you know, what that even meant or, like, how he did that. But then last night he showed me, because I finally, you know, got him to actually come over to my computer and show me, because I think I asked before, but he just, you know, completely disregarded what I said. And
how
he showed me
he?
How to do it. Yeah, I know, right? Such a jerk. And then I went on to Inkscape after he showed me that, and I went to the path, and I went clicked on Trace Bitmap, and I selected my picture that I think my dad's going to put a picture up of the previous, of just the scanned and drawing, and then the end result. I traced the bitmap, I clicked Update to see the preview, I clicked OK, and then I dragged the new picture off of the old scan, I deleted the scan, and I saved the traced, you know, line art picture. And then I took it and I went to GIMP and I pulled up a new, I pulled it up on GIMP and then I pulled up a new image the same exact size because it was just, it didn't have a background. So I copied and pasted it onto the background because you can't do that straight from Inkscape. I copied and pasted it. And then I just started coloring it, and it gives you all the shadows and everything with when it traces the bitmap, and so I just colored it in, and then I went back with a darker color, like when I used blue, so I went back to the blue, and then I made it a bit darker, and I added shadows in places, and so it looks pretty good if I do say so myself. It's a picture of a fairy. My dad's going to put it... you're going to put up the end results, too, right?
They're both ready to go.
Okay. So, yeah. It really isn't that hard to do. You just kind of need a steady hand. And you got to be careful. You got to zoom in a lot. So... yeah.
You did those, you traced it with using Bezier curves?
What?
You used the pathing tool.
I think so. For this, I know for a couple other ones, if the line wasn't dark enough, then I would have to trace it with the path tool and then hit, you know, stroke or whatever it is, and I had to stroke it, but for this one, I think I just had to trace the bitmap. I don't think I had to actually use the path tools in GIMP. The path tool is mostly for creating actual line art on the computer, which is what I made for Mom for Mother's Day, which looks horrible because it's my first ever computer line art, but I guess you get better or something, I don't know, but the line art is just taking a new blank canvas on the GIMP and just drawing something onto it with the line art and then coloring it. You don't scan in anything, which is a lot harder than it seems.
Excellent.
This is an awkward silence. Okay.
Oh, I was just busy writing up your homework.
Oh.
Now, did you kind of figure this out on your own, or did you cull this from some tutorials that you may have?
No. At first I thought you had to trace the scan picture with the path tool, but after you showed me how to do the bitmap thing, I just took it to GIMP and I started, you know, coloring it and adding more detail. I didn't use a tutorial.
Excellent. Well, that's some good stuff, Paige. Mm. some really good. Now, just to be sure, you drew that yourself, the picture of the fairy. That was an original drawing by you. Not traced, not copied, but original right out of your head.
Yeah. I was
and you
bored
did
in
that
science
while you were,
one day.
You did that when you should have been paying attention in science.
We weren't doing anything. My science teacher just gives us, like, workbook pages or something, or we watch a video or we're doing a dissection or something. They'll just give us something, and once we're done, we can work on whatever we need to work on or just, you know, sit quietly or read a book or something. So if I don't have anything to work on, I decided to draw. And so, yeah, I drew. It only took me a couple minutes.
Well, that is like, I'm just in awe because that is something that I wish I had those kind of skills to be able to draw that well. I just think it's awesome. Good job.
Thanks.
Now.
That's very kind.
anything else that you want to bring up?
Just, you know, anything, because I did have something I wanted to ask.
Go ahead.
Wait,
this isn't
going to
make me angry, is it?
No, it's about computers.
Okay.
I was talking to Mommy yesterday, and she had no idea what the answer to this would be. But you know how in college and sometimes in high school you use laptops and stuff, your own laptops?
Yes.
Do you have to use the software that the school uses? Or can you use your own? Like,
that
if
all
I
depends.
Ever had to use... If I ever had to use Microsoft on my own computer, I'd probably have to throw it away by the end of the year.
That all depends. Now, it's getting a lot better on that, and that you're not restricted in a lot of cases to having to use certain applications. Now, when I say it all depends, that is because it depends on what you're doing. If you were in high school or in college and you were doing graphic design, they may require you to use Adobe Photoshop. If you are in an engineering program, there may be a specific CAD software that you have to use. In some cases, there may be requirements that you have to use a specific piece of software. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can get around working with that in some cases, particularly if you had to install Windows or run OS 10. If you had to install or use Windows software, you can get around that by running Windows in a virtual machine. So you can get a demo copy of Windows, which usually allows you to run for 30 to 60 days, probably for the length of your semester of your class, and you can install the software in a virtual machine. And do you know what a virtual machine is?
No.
All right, a virtual machine is a software computer, so to speak. Like, do you know the server down here that I have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the server runs three different environments, three different actual computing environments, operating system environments. The server itself runs a distribution of Linux called CentOS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it runs a piece of software called VMware Server, which is a virtual machine, and that allows you to run different operating systems inside as if they were separate computers.
Uh-huh.
It's called virtualization. The theory is that you take a very beefy server type computer, like the server that I have down here, something that's very beefy, and then inside of it you run different instances of an operating system or different types of operating systems. So that in this machine, like I said, I have the main server, the web server and stuff, running in a Slackware virtual machine. And that has the email and the web server on it. Then I have another virtual machine, which is also a Slackware. And these are two different, like having two different computers. And that runs the asterisk box, which we're using right now to talk. The telephony software. And then there's a third one on there, which is a Debian virtual machine. And that runs the streaming client, BUT, which is the streaming client we use for the tech show, to stream out to the Icecast servers. So that machine is running three different, like, virtualized instances of a computer. You can do that on your laptop upstairs if you wanted to run a different operating system inside it. I do that on my laptop here when I did the Linux for Scratch. I ran that inside a virtual machine. At work, if I absolutely have to do something in Windows or test something in Windows, I will fire up VirtualBox, which is another type of virtual machine software, and I will run Windows inside of my Ubuntu instance at work. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can do that with, if you're running Linux, you can run a Windows virtual machine. Now, the only thing, I mean, there's the other side of this, which is OS X, and OS X is so finicky, and they have it so locked down, that if you really wanted to run it in a virtual machine under your Linux system, you can. You have to jump through a whole lot of hoops to do it, and it almost makes it impractical because of how locked down they have OS X, which that could be an instance where it becomes more difficult. But there are ways to get around it. There's also using an application called Wine, which is an implementation of the Windows API, that sometimes you can run Windows applications under it as if they were native applications under Linux. And hopefully by the time you have to deal with this, there will be a better solution than having to run Windows.
Uh-huh.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Can you tell Avery to turn the TV down?
Hold on a second. I don't think it's going to work. She's just going to keep it as loud as she wants it.
Yeah. So we have Death Note playing in the background now. Great.
Okay. Well, anything else for this week before I tell you your homework for the week?
How about no homework?
No, this is going to be really easy. This is going to be really easy.
Whenever you say it's going to be really easy, I always end up really frustrated.
Well, no, this is going to be really easy. Because this is, you really don't have to do much on this one. All right? I'm going to give you a little change of pace. There's no actual computing work yet. But what I want you to do, now you're doing a show, a podcast. And we get emails from people and comments. We've gotten a lot. Do you get them, the comments, the emails?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you send them
Hold on. I've only gotten one so far of the last show.
Let me see here. Linuxandhouse.org. What did I say? What's our email address?
I don't remember.
I think it's show@linuxinthehouse.org. Now I gotta go look it up. Why don't you remember these things?
Because I want to make you angry. I hope it works.
I think it's under aliases. Alright, cat.qmail.show. Let me see. Which? Conda fan. That's right.
26. Thank you very much. Conda.
Yes.
26.
Okay.
Wait, whoa. Why doesn't it have my email address where it says contact page at blank?
Where does it say that? Under hosts?
Yeah.
I don't know what... Okay, hold on. I'll fix that.
Yes, you will.
Okay. Conda fan 23, 32, 60 what?
26.
Mark26@gmail.com. If you just send the email to show@linuxintohouse.org, it will come to both of us. Simple
enough.
Wait,
what?
show@linuxintohouse.org.
Okay. I'll put that on my phone.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, no, you don't have to put it on your phone. If you send it to show@linuxintohouse.org, it's going to be sent then to your condafan26@gmail.com address. Got it?
Okay, so, yeah, I get that.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Cool.
But what I was going to say, now, you good with that?
Yeah, hold on, let me pull up a note.
What do you mean? This is easy. This is easy. Okay, because you're doing a show, people really like the show.
That's a surprise.
Why is that a surprise?
I don't know. Just keep talking.
People really like the show. As a matter of fact, I just sent a test email to you. You should be getting it. show@linuxintohouse.org. You should get that any second now. Anyway. You should get it. It's called Test. Did you get it? Did you get it?
Oh, I did. Shut up.
Okay. What I want you to do.
Chill.
I want you to sample, listen to.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good.
Okay, sample
I want you
what?
To listen to. I want you to listen to one episode of three different Linux podcasts. Okay? You with me so far?
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm going to choose two of those, and then you get to choose the third one. Okay? The first one I want you to listen to, I want you to listen to a show called The Linux Action Show. Now, I provided the link in the show notes. There's two different ways that you can listen to this. You can download the audio version, okay? And listen to either the AUG or the MP3, or you can go to their website and watch the video version of their show.
Okay.
And see how they do it, okay? The second one is an audio only, it's an AUG only show. It's called GNU World Order, okay? I want you to listen to that, an episode of GNU World Order. And third, you get to pick, okay? Now, you can pick from, and I'm going to make it easy for you. If you go to the linuxlink.net, I have a list of all these Linux shows in there, okay?
Okay.
And this is the only restriction I have. The only restriction I have. It has to be one of the Linux shows. Or it can be Hacker Public Radio. You can do one of the Linux shows or Hacker Public Radio. And it cannot be the Linux Link Tech Show.
Dang it! Ugh! That would have been an easy one.
But I want you something different. Something that doesn't involve me. So any one of those shows, anything to catch your interest, there's a whole bunch of them there. So what catches is at least one episode of three different shows, and I want to hear your opinion and what you think about them.
Okay.
All right.
I know this is going to make me frustrated.
Why is it going to make you frustrated?
It just is.
It won't make you frustrated. You're going to love it.
Yeah, just as much as I love you. I don't understand what the point of this really lame music is.
It's not nice.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say before we close out the show for this week?
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome, Dad.
Well then.
That's all I have to say. Yeah.
We will bid everybody a fond adieu. And
this
carry on with your bad self. Carry on with your bad Linux selves. Sing us out, Paige.
No way. No.
Well,
I'm good
we will
just
see
talking.
You, we will see you shortly. So keep an ear out for Linux and the Howie Yows. Ows. Go ahead, say Linux and the Howie Yows. Come on.
I'll practice it and say it next show. How about that?
All right, that's good enough for me. Thank you very much, and thank you, Paige. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Say bye.
Bye.
Oh yeah. Linux in the house. Shizzle McNizzle.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal camp, multiple parties featuring dual core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as riff tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
Pictures of people on a piece of paper, and then I have to print them out, and then I have to cut them up with them down, and they won't. I don't have any glue. And I got to put them all on index cards with the names that I have to cut out, which is 49 people, and facts about each person that I have to cut out. And it's
okay. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Do you have the microphone right in front of your mouth?
Now I do.
You do? Talk for a little bit.
Fine. And so anyway...
Okay, just keep talking like that.
This way? I don't know what you mean, keep talking like that.
No, I'm just trying to get the sound levels between us proper.
Okay.
Don't add it to me!
I accidentally merged down a layer. I have to scale all these layers, and it's very annoying. And I don't see why I have to do this project for social studies, because I would rather just write all this out and not have to what happened. And something just happened, and I can't get Andrew Carnegie to scale down correctly. But so, like, it's annoying because I have to cut up all the words because the lines are messed up and they won't fit the post-it note right. So, crap, I just merged it down again.
I'm making
and
the boop, 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 boop. Sorry. Okay. Now, let me bring up Firefox here.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
That's how we're going to start the show. Does that sound good?
No.
Oh, yeah, oh,
never.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm using... Alright. What am I doing, Paige?
I don't know. What are you doing? Whatever you're doing, you're failing epically.
Nah,
just kidding.
Girl. There we go. Exactly what I want. Okay. Let's see what we're gonna do tonight. You're gonna make it all right. You're gonna smell like a duo bacon. That's good. Okay, linuxinthehouse.org. I have the page up. And are you ready to go, 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 go? Hey, where, can you send me, email to me right now, email to me the original picture that you scanned in and the picture that's colored. Can you email both of those to me?
Of the fairy?
Yes.
Okay.
Email both of those to me right now.
You want me to, Dad, do you want me to send you just the original and the colored one, or do you want the line art too? I mean the bitmap one.
What do you mean the bitmap one?
The one where it traced the bitmap.
No, I just want the original and the end result.
Okay.
Bum 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 do 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 wop 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 Pennsylvania 65,000 Pennsylvania 65,000 Do 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 do. Sing a page. Do 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 do. Pennsylvania 65,000. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Pennsylvania 65,000. Bonnie. Now one day, Paige, when you're in jazz band, you'll understand. That's if you ever use a saxophone.
Why would I use a saxophone?
Because it's a natural progression to go from clarinet to saxophone. Then you could be in jazz band. And you could do Pennsylvania 65,000. Do 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 do
I understand. You can shut it now.
Baba! Alright. Cool stuff here, Paige. Cool stuff here. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na After it stops being an idiot.
Save for me all the things you want to save. Do that.
Oh, yeah, my scanner's still not working.
Alright.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm ready. Hello?
Yeah. I hear you, yo's.
Alright, dog, let's start. Okay, let's never do that again.
Oh, I gotta make a poo-poo.
And go.
Hold on. L-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get that thing out. No, that's not right.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. I need to get the, crap, I forgot what I called it. Hope this is right.
You called it puppy love.
Yeah, that's not it.
Make sure you talk louder because you're coming through very softly.
I know. I'm just trying to find something.
When you... This is episode...
Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. There we go. And...
Oh, Avery's got it going on loud in the other room. I don't know what she's playing.
Yeah, I know. She's playing one of those girl game things. Annoying as heck.
One pic. I don't. That's not set up to print. Oh,
okay.
Come on.
What?
I was going to say, I don't think... Hold on. Ay, ay, ay. She's killing me. All right. We ready?
Yep.
Aim! Alright. Alright, Paige, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Wait, do I usually play the Linux in the Howie F? No, I don't. I add that in post-production.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.